Welcome to The Brainstorm, a podcast and video series from ARK Invest. Tune in every week as we react to the latest in innovation and reflect on how short-term news impacts our long-term views. To learn more, visit ARK-invest.com.
ARK Investment Management, LLC is an SEC-registered investment advisor. ARK and Public are unaffiliated entities and do not have a relationship with respect to either firm marketing or selling the products or services of the other, and therefore ARK disclaims responsibility for any loss that may be incurred by Public's clients or customers. The information provided in this show is for informational purposes only and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision and is subject to change without notice. It does not constitute either explicitly or implicitly any provision of services or products by ARK. An investor should determine for themselves whether a particular investment management service is suitable for their investment needs. All statements made regarding companies or securities are strictly beliefs and points of view held by ARK and/or show guests and are not endorsements by ARK of any company or security or recommendations by ARK to buy, sell, or hold any security. Historical results are not indications of future results. Certain of the statements contained in the show may be statements of future expectations and other forward-looking statements that are based on ARK's current views and assumptions and involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or events to differ materially from those expressed or implied in such statements. ARK assumes no obligation to update any forward-looking information. ARK and its clients, as well as its related persons, may, but do not necessarily, have financial interests in securities or issuers that are discussed. Certain information was obtained from sources that ARK believes to be reliable. However, ARK does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of any information obtained from any third party.
All right, welcome to Brainstorm episode number 81. We've got a Thunderdome going on. We've got Brett, the boy who called disruption, Winton, and Nick, Apple is the best company ever in the world, Gruce, teeing up. No. What we have, there's a great article, blog post, that was in reaction to, I believe it was a Bloomberg article, saying that Siri, the better version of Siri, is being delayed, and saying that there's something fishy and deeply concerning about what is happening with the state of innovation at Apple. Brett, you teed up a long discussion about this at our Friday brainstorm. Do you want to give a quick summary there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Apple, at a high level, Apple announced a set of features, a set of Apple Intelligence features that they clearly hadn't yet built at the last developer conference. Now they've been trying to build them for the past 6-9 months. And now they are kind of meeting the reality that they are not actually going to ship those features in this version of iOS, which is problematic for them because they spent a lot of the developer conference showing these like slick concept videos of what this thing could do. And they advertised these features in order to sell phones. And so people have bought phones with the expectation of magic Apple intelligence. And instead they've gotten a few gimmicky, far from state-of-the-art kind of image generation apps that probably nobody's using. There is not yet a smart Siri. Siri is still extraordinarily dumb. Now we know that that's going to remain the case for at least until the next developer conference. And then there was further reporting that there was an internal meeting, Apple in crisis, of the Siri team, where the business lead said, well, you know, people aren't going to get fired and we've done a lot of good work, but we can't also guarantee that we're actually going to ship these purported products even in this next year. And so, they're potentially going to be 2 years out from when they produce the concept videos to when they ship something resembling what they promised. In AI space, where cost declines, you get performance doublings every 4 to 5 months. Hitting a product mark 2 years out is, you know, the equivalent of being like a decade behind. Imagine producing a decade old smartphone today and saying this is going to sell. So I think that it's clear that Apple's ability to execute on its vision has really degraded. This is not something that has happened to Apple, at least as in the media spotlight. That like it's happened with ancillary products in the past, and they essentially buried them. But typically, Apple has released a developer event thing and then delivered on that a developer event thing within the year. You know, John Gruber, who writes Daring Fireball, which is the article that that Sam was referring to, at the time commented like, whoa, something went really wrong here. And I think one of the perspectives he offers in his piece, which is valuable, is that the Apple prior to Steve Jobs had this as a problem, and the technology industry as a whole has this as a problem of this is the thing that's going to happen. And then kind of like, well, it actually didn't happen. And often that can kind of kill companies or products. Like, you know, there's a reason that vaporware is a term. You promise a set of things, and then, you know, in game development, it happens all the time. The game is 10 years delayed. I think here, this is a return to kind of old form for Apple.
Well, how do you contextualize also then? It's like the Apple car. Would you say this is same problem, different product?
Well, but the Apple car was, we know they were working on it from reporting. We know they invested a lot of resources in it from reporting. They periodically leaked information on it, I think, on a recruitment basis to try to attract talent. But they didn't put it in advertisements. They didn't go out to the press and say, they didn't turn it, like, I can go down the street and there's a giant billboard that features the iPhone that says, get Apple intelligence. Like, this is the message that drove, or that they were intending to use to drive the sales of their flagship set of products. And I think that, you know, the spending billions of dollars into an Apple car product without a strong like ability to push chips into the table and deliver something is probably indicative of a team that is, you know, lost its ability to execute over time. I think the Vision Pro also, which has, you know, I think a lot of poor engineering choices. And so it subsequently has not performed well in the marketplace. And, you know, at least they're not, we know from rumors that they're not going to update it this year, is another indication of a company that is kind of lost its edge. And I think there's two things. One, I think AI is extraordinarily difficult for Apple to like embrace. Like, they're trying to layer it on as a set of features where really it needs to be the core foundation of a platform. Two, I think that there's also a separate issue, which is a company that prints massive amounts of cash flow, almost no matter what its employees do, will have a hard time kind of like having like devoting, like pushing and spearing through like into producing big, new, meaningful things. And so it's just hard to kind of have that amount of like automatic success and then also take the intellectual and business risks required to create new, you know, foundational stuff. And I think both of those are happening to Apple, which makes it, you know, but Nick, I mean, right, you know.
Yeah, yeah, Nick.
I'm learning here.
Yeah, we're going to paint Nick as the all pro Apple, but Nick did correctly call it the flop of the Apple Vision Pro while there was still hype there. And so Nick, on this call where all of us are using Apple computers and 3 out of 4 of us are wearing Apple AirPods, please tell us about the death of Apple and why that's overstated.
No, I thought the article, you know, it does bring up serious execution risks for Apple. I think what's interesting, and if you go back to the last debate we had on this, I think, Brett, you did correctly call and say, look, I think Apple is going to miss the mark here. They're probably going to have to delay this. And I think my response, which I still stand by, is who cares? They still have such a competitive advantage in hardware distribution. They can afford, not that they should be making mistakes, but they can actually afford this. There's very few companies in the world that have, you know, $250 billion in cash, that have a billion plus installs across the entire globe, that can afford to make some of these mistakes, especially how early on it still is in AI. And I think you brought it up and you framed this as, look, what's happening with AI is a transformational shift in how we will compute. So for them to do that, to rewrite their entire operating system around this, It's going to take time. They're going to make mistakes. Do I think they have a PR crisis around Apple Intelligence? Not really. I mean, you talk to most people on the street, they probably don't even know about some of the features Apple promised because they've done such a good job of washing over it with, you know, hey, you have spell check now embedded right into your iMessaging. And people are like, that's amazing. This is great. It's so much better than it was. And so I don't think it's as big of a deal as maybe some. And I think your stance, Brett, is like now becoming the main stance on Apple, which is, you know, if you spend time on X, it's, this is a very popular take now to be like Apple's dead in the water. And I would still like commit to, look, one, we don't know what we don't know. It's not in Apple's nature to test in the open. I think one key difference here is you look at a company like Alphabet, where they have a whole website you can go to see them testing and innovating within AI, and they have Gemini out in the open, and they do a lot more in the open community and let people play around with half finished products. That's not what Apple does. And it's not necessarily what they're doing here, where they're, you know, finishing a product, doing it better than ever, and then launching it. Clearly, they are making some mistakes. But once they get it right, it's still such an easy
ship
to write, in my opinion, because as soon as they deploy the...
If once,
you can take the stance of if, I'll take once, because to me, it's
but
once you get it
evidence.
Right, your distribution is so much better. And it means so much to what is happening right now that everyone else is going to now have to compete with you. Like, do you use your Apple products more or less since ChatGPT and all these other products launched? Probably more, right? So now you're more committed to their hardware. You're more committed to their ecosystem than you were before.
I'm more like I do, for example, like in the car or while walking around, you know, whereas prior I would 100% be listening to, you know, the Apple podcast app. Now it's much more, I'm talking to ChatGPT. So it is like a loss of...
Well, forget services. Forget their individual services.
Forget
their software
their
and hardware.
Profitable business, which is the faster growing part of their business, which isn't really growing. And so like the other thing I think that's important context here is that, yes, I think that people are beginning to recognize, oh, there's actually, and even, you know, John Gruber, who has followed Apple for a long time, he was kind of snowed under it by the developer conference presentation. He saw the video and said, that's what they're going to deliver because that's what Apple has done in the past. And then was apparently quite surprised that they actually had to delay it. And the problem, particularly in AI, one, making a concept video is very easy. You just need like a marketing
person. You just need
AI. Making even a prototype is easy. Like, and that's what is, I think, most interesting here is Apple hasn't even demonstrated these features in prototype. They haven't even gone on stage and be like, this is how this does this. They haven't, you know, usually in the developer conference, they like make a phone call from the watch to somebody paddleboarding. You know, they show that the thing works. They haven't shown that any of the like the advanced features that they've pitched have worked, which means it doesn't work, right? And in AI, showing something that works, the prototype, is actually the easy part. It's making it productizable within, you know, a billion user context is actually more of the work. And that's why I think on this particular set of things they're trying to do, it cuts so across, like even Apple executing well, it cuts really askew to their corporate culture, which is we hold things in reserve, we ship a finished product that works exactly how we expect it to, de-risked and kind of debugged across all of our devices. We actually keep a small device constellation so we can make sure all those interactions work well. Well, one, their device constellation has fragmented, which has resulted in some kind of execution issues over time. Just on that, like it simply works. It no longer simply works with Apple. And yes, I'm a longtime user. I own all the devices. You know, I love Apple. Here, that'll be more challenging for them to do. But then the third context is, yes, on the X kind of call it, commentary yet, maybe this is being recognized. But I agree for the average person, they're like, I don't even know what Apple Intelligence is. And for the average market participant right now on an EV to EBITDA basis, they are paying more for Apple than you could do in 89% of the time since they launched the App Store. It is an extraordinarily expensive stock relative to its history, despite the fact that it has the lowest three-year revenue growth that it has ever had since the launch of the App Store. So, like, the market is essentially saying, Apple is fine. We are willing to pay an extraordinarily high multiple for cash flow because we think that they are going to, you know, they have all this distribution. They're going to turn around and turn that into you know, this distribution is going to lead them to being the continued leading tech company in the AI age and the most valuable company in the world on a forward basis. And I think that's a dangerous stance to take when the underlying technology is so transformative. It actually could turn Apple's hardware into a bunch of dumb pieces of hardware, just like Apple turned the telecom providers into dumb pipes. Now, that doesn't mean the cellular companies were like bad investments. They, you know, generated dividends and they kind of lived in dumb pipe world. And Apple could live in dumb hardware world and probably happily, just maybe not at this multiple. And maybe not with growing top line.
So how would you compare it to Microsoft pre-Satya? Like, do you think this is a solvable, Tim Cook, Tim Apple?
Listen, I think there's evidence that they do not know how much trouble that they're in. And this is where, like, coming back to your point, Nick, of like, well, once they deliver on this thing, I think you need to approach this, like, take what's happening at Google and Alphabet. They clearly feel like we are under threat and we are like pushing here. Like, you know, one of the founders comes back and is like, people need to work 60 hours a week. You know, they're like thrashing around and actually releasing products into the market. Apple is still in the, we have this monopoly that's a wonderful monopoly. This is an execution issue. You know, everybody gets a participation award for having worked on Siri for the past year, but we're not firing anybody. And the market's not really disproportionately punishing them. So they're not facing market pressure yet. And so then therefore they're not going to like do the real reconsideration of strategy that I think they need to do. The marginal news has been, we are going to release the biggest OS and iOS update since, you know, I can't remember which iOS they reference back to. And it's going to be like a cosmetic redesign. The buttons are going to be rounder. And at least that's the reporting. It's basically like, we're going to change the design language, you know, and that's like AI means, and this is from your research too, Nick, and in your writing, like AI is going to transform the way we interact with devices. That means necessarily the user interface also has to transform. There's no evidence that they're undertaking that kind of whole scale, like reconsideration of how a user will approach their constellation of devices. And I think that's what they have to do to actually respond to set themselves up to do well. The Bloomberg leak of the all hands meeting was, yes, basically it was the head of Siri throwing marketing under the bus for promoting these videos before the features were ready. And then him saying, you know, good job, everybody. I know you've worked really hard. And then him saying, you know, this is like basically a PR disaster, but we're going to ship next year, but we might not ship next year because we have other priorities, which to me sounds like, okay, we'll see you in 2028. Like, it does not sound like at a very high level, why is there a person who's ahead of Siri who's separate from a person who is running kind of like iOS and software development? That itself is a problem. Like, AI should be the first point of entry into any consumer product company's strategy on a, you know, look forward basis. So if you have an org chart that has this separate entity that's supposed to develop features on top of some other separate thing, you're not going to have a cohesive strategic vision for what the operating system looks like.
All right, we're running out of time. So Nick, I want you to chime in if you have anything. But Brett, given those timelines you just laid out, I think the important question is, will we have rockets safely landing on Mars or a smart Siri?
I would ask you on the rockets, but Nick, when do you think we will feel that Siri is smart, even like shipped as this separate set of features?
Yeah, You know what's interesting about all of this is I don't disagree with you on anything. I agree with you on 99% of what you're saying. And like even your example of like, yeah, the head of Siri and the head of Apple Intel, that should all be one. You know, this needs to be internally a new direction for the company. I guess I just draw a different conclusion because I'm not ready to raise the alarms and say the battle is lost. You know, this is over for them because of how fast I've seen this change. Like we've been talking about AI in earnest for what, 2.5 years? Like things have changed so drastically in 2.5 years. And yet nothing has really changed in the grand scheme of a lot of things. Well, and so to me, it's like,
I mean, you have 400 million plus users of ChatGPT and billions of dollars of revenue flowing into that product.
That cuts against Google, right? Apple is not a search business. It's not like that's not what they do. They pay Google to be their search. So it's completely different. They're not in harm's way yet.
The operating system, the operating system of the future runs through those chatbot agents. Basically, instead of apps, you'll have AI agents, and then whatever the chat front end is going to be the way that you control those AI agents. And so simultaneously, agreed, you'll get, okay. So then it does cut against Apple, because if I have a bunch of agents operating on my behalf,
we're not there yet.
But
that's
apps.
My point, Brett. We're not there. Yeah,
there's no functional agentic system right now.
100% agree.
And to become agentic, you need the permission of Apple. You need the permission of Google. That's where I come back to, okay, great, yeah, all super interesting, innovative, amazing. They have 400, 500 million monthly active users. But to do what we want them to do, you need Apple to say, okay, you can have access to iOS. You need Google to say, okay, you can have access to Android. And they're never going to do that. And they can take as much time. They can slow roll this entire process. And then once they have it, they release it into the wild and game over.
The problem is that like in agentic system is if there is a mechanism by which you can log into a website to get access to your calendar, to iMessages, to kind of like it, like the agentic
exist,
systems will
but, yeah,
be.
I agree.
No, well, no, calendar files and maybe iMessage doesn't exist, but at least two of those photos, yeah, like you can there. They have to provide you front ends that you can access those things.
Yeah, but
you can build workarounds. But once you have direct access, it's over.
How much revenue has Apple lost from website login? Right, like that's a very concrete. It's like already today you can do that. Right,
access. What and now I use sign in with. I'm missing the.
No. What I'm saying is like login? There's already workarounds to circumnavigate Apple. But they're not very successful so
right.
far.
Look, they have time. They really do. I think it's good that people are raising alarm bells. But guess what? It's only going to force them to move faster. Like, you don't think they all
read
that?
You have to start moving before you can move faster.
They are moving, Brad. They are moving.
There's no evidence that they're moving. They're producing
it's
concept
not at
videos.
The pace.
All right. Well, we're at the top of the half hour. We'll continue the conversation. People in the comments should definitely respond because this is a live conversation that will continue forward. And if there's good insights, we'll pick it up and keep it going. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
See everyone next week.